You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Thursday, it's David Shapiro from SASFIN and Greg Davies, Head of Wealth at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg, both from Johannesburg. David, starting with you. Another day that on the retail front wasn't good. I mean, that was the standout sort of, I suppose, bedrock for the day, Mr. Price's trading update.
No, it was an awful update. And Lindsay, why we took this, you know, why it fell so much is it just shows that volume sales are coming down. In other words, people are buying less. Now, that might be because of their merchandising, which I think it could be, but it also a reflection of the consumer and the pressure that the consumer is feeling. So I think the market reacted very poorly to it, and at once, you know, it was all over the place, but I think right at the end, it ended up down almost 13.7%.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's a massive fall for a retailer. And it also set the mood for other retailers as well. So, you know, this market, Lindsay, I've been tweeting what I call shock of the day, and I thought it'd be one or two. And you know what happens? I can't stop every day. There's something that knocks this market, and it's just quite incredible that every day I've got a story. And when I say a shock, I mean a serious shock. So a little behind was South 32, which is, had to do a big impairment on their coal assets, their South African coal assets, and that. And also a mediocre performance, but I mean, top honors to Mr. Price.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. I mean, hopefully in the years to come, you'll have the star of the day rather than the shock of the day. Because
I'm waiting.
You're waiting.
I'm just waiting.
Just looking at the up moves today, the top five up, there's really nothing to get excited about there either, really. It's a couple of dead cat bounces, yeah.
Okay, let's have a look at the Stock Exchange new service announcements. Greg and I already covered these on the opening this morning, but let's have a run through them. And Greg, I'll start with you. Exxaro Resources, not much going on there share price-wise.
Yeah, interesting. I sent old Ronnie Clippen along, he's our number one analyst, and he came back sort of quite bullish, really. At one point, the share price was positive. It finished today down a third of a percent, 134 Rand. I think the feature there is the two divvies, the regular divvy and the special, sending a confident signal to the two shareholders that they see good times ahead and rewarding people who've been patient with the stock.
We'll come to Mr. Price in a moment. Sorry, David, go on.
Just on that Exxaro, if you look at their profits, and I'm by no means a mining analyst, but I was going through it, and the special dividend came from their Tronix, which were their mineral sands they sold at.
Yeah.
So it was expected we'd get a dividend, but they're still making money out of the iron ore side. The coal side was a little down, and in their profit update not too long ago, I picked up, you know, that locally there's a bit of pressure on coal prices, you know, which are coming down, and one would understand that with iron ore and also with general level of commodities. And if you look at the share, price performance, it's kind of underperformed.
The rest of the space, definitely.
I'm just pulling up a chart now in Exxaro, which is and in fact, it's recent. They fell from, not too long ago, they were 178 odd rand, which was at the end of July, down to where they are now, 130. So it's been quite a knock, which I would only attribute to probably the coal side of their business.
I think long term, it's the coal companies are like buggy whip companies of 150 years ago. There won't be coal companies. There'll be some people who have B&Bs in Dulstrom and places like that that use coal occasionally in order to create an atmosphere.
Steam trains.
I think if Mr. Trump's around, they'll still be here.
He won't be around, thank goodness.
No, he's not giving up on the coal mines.
He'll be in a mental institution within 3 years, trust me. We'll talk about him later on, but okay, Mr. Price will cover in a moment in more detail, but Italtal, Greg, over to you. Up 8%. Nice move, but a volatile stock on thin volume.
Yeah, that's the thing. Good numbers. And, you know, unusual for something kind of, as we always pinned it this morning in the retail space, but doing nicely to cut costs and what have you. The share price, quite volatile, really, but a solid performance finishing at 13.50. I'm just looking back to where it was the beginning of this year. High point around about 15 Rand. So good numbers. The share traded about 500,000 shares, 6.7 million rands. So it's tiny in JSC terms.
Yes, but it's a good JSC company. David, when was the last time you went to a shop and bought some tiles?
Me?
Yes, you.
I'm Jewish. Okay, we get people.
What, don't you have tiles?
For us. We don't do that ourselves. No.
It's a terrible thing. You sound like Donald
Trump.
Don't
pay retail.
Okay, South 32, David, you knew about the impairments and the coal assets, but the share price down quite heavily, 7 2/3% more seriously.
Yeah, disappointing, I think, look, funny enough, it appears to be in line with where analysts expected the results. So I'm a little shocked in terms of the share price performance. But I would think that, you know, they're selling their local assets here and they have a buyer for them. But I think it's the impairment of about over $500 million that they've announced on those coal assets that might have shaken the market. They're pulling out of, I think, they're also reducing their exposure to South Africa,
Okay.
So, you know, South 32, remember, Lindsay, this was ex-Billiton.
Yes, of course.
These were the smaller operations. And they're pretty good operations. This is by no means a small outfit. But and it was the, you know when Billiton went into four areas and everything else from aluminium to some of the coal assets, they floated in the South 32. But and that was the only exposure to South Africa. Billiton doesn't have any other exposure.
It's almost like it's almost like a family business. You've got a family business and you've got an idiot nephew or something like that. Or your third son. You say to yourself, I really don't want him on the board of the main part of the company. I don't want him running. I don't want him running the flagship store or something. Let's go and put him out somewhere in some corner shop that we own. That's the South 32 impression I get, which is unkind, but it's the analogy I'm using. It seems like that, doesn't it?
Well, Graham Kerr wouldn't agree with you, but wouldn't concur.
No,
but,
not bad.
But listen, it's still a 135 billion rand company, so it's a big thing. But I think what happened is that I would understand that when they were having board meetings, you know, they had the four areas, I think, which was coal, copper, petroleum, and metallurgical coal. Those were the four big areas of Billiton, and everything else was small. So when you have a when you have a board meeting, what happens is sometimes those smaller operations tend to take a lot of time, and they can't focus on the big ones. So I think by splitting it, they were still decent operations, but Billiton wanted to focus on the big ones.
Exactly. But Graham Kerr, I'm very, very sorry if you're listening, which I know you are. Greg Old Mutual, it's open letter to shareholders regarding litigation by Peter Moyo and also a trading statement. What happened?
Yeah, the share price finished slightly low at 18.28. It's one that I've always thought, I think it was said on the opening this morning, probably looking like a good buying opportunity, sort of knocked down by internal politics. Looks like they had to fire Mr. Moyo for the second time.
he's not
getting the message, but you probably find that this is what their legal team are taking them through. I've got a couple of clients that are in that legal field, works with CCMA, and it's quite a complex field. You can't just march someone out to the car park these days anymore.
No. I wish those rules were in place when I had a proper job. What else have you said? You know what I've just concluded, actually, just before we came online? I spoke to a chap called Johnny Brumberg, the CEO of Discovery Health. Now, they're in a closed period at the moment, so he couldn't say much. So thank you very much to him for actually having the guts to come online. And I asked him a few questions. I asked him about the NHI. And reading between the lines, I do believe that they don't think it's going to happen for quite a long time, and they will engage with government. And obviously, behind the scenes, they are talking very, very in a very, very detailed and meaningful way about a private-public partnership when it comes to the NHI, should it ever come to fruition. And the other thing I asked about, and I opened myself up to public scrutiny by telling them that one of my discovery policies I'd had to let lapse, and I'm sorry about that because I've been a supporter of the company for ages. And I asked him, have there been lots of lapses in South Africa? He said, actually, no. We are better than the worldwide average of lapses in similar schemes. So I was quite surprised about that. David, you know this company?
Yeah, you're talking to the health side.
Yes.
I think the health side is pretty solid. I think where the criticism has come and where the worries are there are a couple of areas, mainly on the life side. And this is where various analysts, and this is not the first time that they've had a go at Discovery. I mean, this has been going on for a number of years about the regressive way in which they account for life policies. And that's where the discussion is at the moment. And I think the other discussion is around the bank, you know, a belief that the bank is chewing up billions of money. And they're not a big cash generator, or the cash that they generate, they tend to plow into their new businesses or new operations or expansion. So I think the talk around the market now is that they were hit by a perfect storm in all areas of their business, and also that they will have to come to the market for a rights issue. And remember, they did an 11 billion rand rights issue a year ago, November 2018, at 160. And the problem is, if they come to for a rights issue at these levels, at 110, I think it's going to be a lot more costly than they expect. In other words, a deeper discount. So there are a lot of question marks around the business, and I think what investors want is a little more transparency, you know, not lots of words and especially colourful words.
Discovery is one of those companies that is built on colourful words as well as a very, very good solid business model. Of course, Greg, over to you.
Yeah, I think what David's saying is 100% right, and very, very interesting, I must say. But I was tweeting earlier about the mood of the market. Now, you've got Discovery share price falling. We've got those scenarios that David played out, which are probably 100% correct, but the trust and the confidence that the market doesn't believe, you know, the theme, is this what we're really seeing? Is this the real reason why we're coming down? Or was there going to be a shock in the numbers? I hadn't heard talk of rights issue. I'd actually forgotten that they had the big one. But you're quite right. Beginning of this year, it was trading at 160 Rand. It's made a double bottom for the technical guys, both times bouncing off that 100 Rand level. It does seem to be a big seller, about 108. It had a couple of goes this afternoon at breaking that 108, and that's just flushed out a big seller. Yeah. So looking forward to those numbers.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. I think they're September the 4th. The other thing I asked Mr. Brumberg was about Ping An, because I suddenly thought of China and the slowing Chinese economy and the competition over there. And I said, is this also a contributory factor to your share price falling? Which is unfair of me, because they're not custodians of their share price. But anyway, he said, quite the contrary, that's all I can say. So look out for some good numbers from Ping An on September the 4th.
You know what? One issue that was brought up in a presentation is that Ping An is doing very well, but it's a Chinese company now that has to finance its growth. Okay?
Yes.
So when you have to finance growth, you need more money. And you can't shy away from it. So this is not one of those investments where you're not reinvesting in your own expansion, whether they're investing profits that they're making. But I think that this is also one of the areas where there is a demand for cash. So I think along all the lines where they are expanding outside, there's that need for cash. And, you know, not the concern. I think it's realistically, they're not making the stuff here.
Let's have a look at the spot prices, because we've got lots of other stocks to talk about now. And the spot prices today look as follows, starting with the currencies. The dollar rand is 15.21, the British pound against the rand 18.63, the euro rand 16.87, with the euro dollar 110.86, which is more or less flat. The gold price, which has been orbiting, pivotaling 1500, is exactly 1500, which is still down $2 over the last 24 hours. The platinum price is 860, up 7. And Greg, on the palladium front, what have we got?
Yeah, a nice bounce there, up $22 to 1494.
Very good. Go on, David.
Lindsay, what we have to say is what's happened in the last hour of trade.
Yes.
US markets opened up quite briskly. They were up, I don't know, 0.5%, 0.25%. Then Jackson Hole is taking place, where there's a meeting of economists. You don't want to go there. You know, you don't want to go anywhere where about 100 central bankers meet and so many economists. I mean, really, it must be enthralling. But
this comes from a man that goes to watch Warren Buffett habitually. I mean, come on.
Anyway, what in the interviews, the Fed governor from Kansas City, who's the host of this annual event, I can't remember her name. She came out and said that she's not in favor of any debt reductions. Esther George, that's her name. And then the Philadelphia Fed governor also said he's on hold. So she said that the U.S. doesn't need lower rates. Now, So you've got two Fed governors being interviewed who are saying, no, we're not voting in favor of rate reduction. On the other hand, you've got Trump going ballistic, having attacked at Jay Powell, you know, wanting him to reduce rates and blaming him for everything from, I don't know, in the environment to, you know, it's global warming. Everything is Jay Powell's fault.
His hair.
Because he hasn't reduced rates. Every yard, exactly.
Quite right.
So the markets did a tilt and just did a reverse. And if you look at U.S. markets, they're down, I don't know, 0.5% now or thereabouts. I haven't seen. But a complete reversal after those interviews.
59. So no, just also, so, let me get on with the spot prices because I'll come to those U.S. markets right now. Yeah. 59.92 is the Brent crude oil price, down 51 cents per barrel or nearly 0.9%. And if we look at the United States of America on my screen, anyway, I've got the Dow Jones suddenly, I don't know, about 0.5%. But Greg, maybe with your flashy Bloomberg screen or your JSE trading system, you can give me the live international indices, please.
Yeah, the Dow is actually down 24 points. David's quite right. Before the Fed murmurings there, we were looking like a decent positive day, I think north of 100 points up. The FTSE down 78 points at the moment. Let me just scroll down to the NASDAQ down 55 and the S&P down 8. So certainly a more negative feel, but I think that's quite right. It's getting more and more the feeling that the Fed are going to put their foot down and say, no more rate cuts this year, and on we go. But I think I'm watching Trump's Twitter handle very closely.
Yeah, he must be absolutely furious. I mean, he's furious with the Danish prime minister, the youngest prime minister in Danish history, a 41-year-old woman who's obviously very competent, very intelligent, very measured, very composed, which is exactly the opposite to Donald Trump. And I support her all the time. Greg, the most viewed shares. We're going to get my little Trump moment at the end of the show, by the way. Most viewed shares, please, Greg.
Yeah, the most viewed, usual suspects there. Steinhoffer, it's a decent day, up another 2.6%, 1.17. Mr. Price, that David was talking about earlier, and really clobbered, down 13%, 151.46. And I mean, for to close on its lows, because a couple of times it looked like it might rally off the lows, but never managed to. Sasol also viewed 8.7% of the views. That closed unchanged, 280.50. And then Aspen, that seems looking up, picking up its head a little bit, up 2%, 70.91.
Good. Okay. And the top five major moves, David Shapiro, you can comment on any one of the five you like. Ital Tal, we've spoken about that. Hammerson up 5.5%, MediClinic up 3.4%, Harmony up 2.7%, and Equitas up 2.25%. None of those stocks, I feel, are in your radar, your normal radar.
No, not really. I watch them. It's good to see the medical stocks turning around. I think there are whether Greg, you know, it's not. I don't follow the trading side. Whether it's short covering, whether it's brave people trying to read the bottom, but there has been a bounce in you know, in some of those that have been beaten up and bashed. I think the one what I am watching with a bit of concern is this Blue Label, which seems to have capitulated now. You know, they haven't done a deal. Or it doesn't appear so. They were down another 7.5%, and slowly. Gosh. I mean, today down 274, which is really pointing towards serious concerns about the company. And this is CLC, so I think they must be desperately going around trying to find finance. And I think having held up bravely, in other words, I think a lot of supporters and family members have tried to come to the help.
Nervous laughter from Greg Davies in the background there. Why are you laughing, Greg? You know the family?
It is a stock which is kind of, it's almost like a Jewish Steinhoff, really, at this point.
I always used to say to Mark.
Maybe I'll edit that out.
I used to say to Mark and Brett, you know, when they did this CLC deal, I said, don't lose the money. The shuls need you, you know, just leave.
Did you ever tell the story, Greg?
Magnanimous. They are very, very charitable boys.
Yes.
And have given huge amounts to organizations, to charitable organizations. And I'm sad for them because I think this deal was too big for them, too big.
You know what? You can tithe as much as you like, David, but it doesn't make you a good person. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying they're bad people, but tithe away, it doesn't give you a key to the gates of heaven. Greg Davies, please tell David Shapiro your story about the Blue Label Lets.
John, years and years ago, I mean, how they got their start, I mean, from what I understand, is they would borrow money from their mom, go to some bazaar somewhere in Pretoria and buy car radios, and then on Louis Berta Avenue would be more or less selling them out of the boots of their cars. And I remember I had a Mazda 323 at the time, which needed an amplifier. And we struck a very good deal.
No, you're not far wrong. And I think also they did a very good deal with an insurance, you know, an insurance agency that, you know, in those days you used to lose your car radios. They were always stolen. And they provided the car radios.
Yes,
and
that's where they...
And then, you see, they built up a very good infrastructure when it came to selling their phone cards. You know, they knew where to sell them and how to sell them.
The young guys, the innovative, the entrepreneurs. This is a big setback. And look, the market doesn't need something like this, but I would back them to come back from this in one way, shape, form, or another.
Yes.
Just because they've got such determination and such skills, I hope the market will, you know, forgive this one, and let's see what they can cobble together.
Well, they've made a lot of money, so let's not worry too much about them, despite the fact that they're fallen from grace in the short term anyway. But as you say, people like that, with that business acumen and that entrepreneurial spirit, exactly what South Africa need, although they got a little bit ahead of themselves with the CELSE deal, which, quite frankly, was stupid. Greg, give us the JSE indices before our Trump moment, please.
All right, sure. So the bank's down 1.33%, financials down 0.86%, industrials down 0.72%. All retailers clobbered, down 4.57%. The gold index up 0.33%. But I'm just watching the gold shares in New York. I think we're going to have more action on that front. Platts down 0.25%, so a little bit of profit taking there. Resources down 0.65%. I think that's probably, you know, South 32 not helping there. That left the oil share down 0.82%, down 450 points, which is sad because we did have almost a sort of a recovery rally. We almost went green at one point. That leaves us at 54,198 on the oil share, $19.66 billion.
Yeah, it's what's disturbing. I mean, I love the nearly $20 billion volume, but it's on a down day. It seems as though there's big volume on the down days and very low volume on the up days, which is technically, I think, from what I understand, not particularly good. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to play you something now, which is to do with our friend Donald J. Trump. On the one hand, we've got Greg Davies, the supporter of this freak. On the other hand, we've got... We've got David Shapiro, who's sitting on the fence. And on the other hand, you've got me, who is very much anti-Donald Trump for all sorts of reasons. He called himself the chosen one today. Have a listen.
Yes.
No, wait, here he goes. Here it comes.
I haven't heard it.
And do Americans need to back that up?
The fake news, of which many of you are members, is trying to convince the public to have a recession. Let's have a recession. The United States is doing phenomenally well. But one thing I have to do is economically take on China, because China has been ripping us off for many years. President Clinton, President Bush, and President Obama and others should have done this long before me. My life would be much easier, although I enjoy doing it, but my life would be much easier if I just said, let China continue to rip off the United States, all right? It'd be much easier, but I can't do that. We are winning against China. They've lost 2.5 million jobs in a very short period of time. They want to make a deal. It's got to be a deal that's good for the United States. When they want to make a deal, probably we will make a deal. But if I didn't do that, and I'm not doing this, somebody said it's Trump's trade war. This isn't my trade war. This is a trade war that should have taken place a long time ago by a lot of other presidents. Over the last 5 or 6 years, China's made $500 billion, $500 billion, ripped it out of the United States. And not only that, if you take a look, intellectual property theft, add that to it, and add a lot of other things to it. So somebody had to do it. I am the chosen one. Somebody had to do it. So I'm taking on China. I'm taking on China on trade. And you know what? We're winning, because we're the piggy bank. We're the one that all these countries, including the European Union, wants to rob and takes advantage of. European Union, $200 billion. China, more than $500 billion. Sorry. I was put here by people I was put here by people to do a great job, and that's what I'm doing. And nobody's done a job like I've done. Now, would China rather wait for a little more than a year and try and get sleepy Joe Biden to negotiate with instead of President Trump? Maybe, but I don't think so. You know why? They're losing too many jobs too fast. They had the worst year in 27 years, but I think it was actually 52 or 54 years. It's the worst year they've had in a half a century. And that's because of me. And I'm not proud of that, but you know what? They want to negotiate. And Sleepy Joe doesn't have a clue. Sleepy Joe said, oh, China's wonderful. Well, China is wonderful for China, but I'm wonderful for the USA.
I heard that interview.
Yes.
I saw it on TV. Mm. I mean, that he's the chosen one. Who else was the chosen one?
Mourinho. Jose Mourinho. Yeah.
That's right.
Mourinho. No, the special one. He was the special one.
I thought maybe Moses. Abraham. Abraham. Sorry, I don't know my Bible. I'm sure.
So, David, he's the chosen one.
Yes. He's been chosen to punish China.
Greg, you hadn't heard that before, Greg.
Crazy. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I'm Googling it a little bit, and it says U.S. president said his life would be a lot easier if he hadn't mounted a trade war against China. And, I mean, he has said a couple of times he'd be much better off carrying on running his Trump empire. He didn't realize how much hard work being the president was really going to be. You've got to love that.
You've got to love him. And he's my absolute hero. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to talk about every day when Donald Trump either dies or gets locked up in a padded cell with long sleeves.
He's an absolute gift to the media because he's a headline a minute, this guy.
He really is.
Well, he can't stop his mouth going.
He's
That's
fantastic.
The problem. There's no disconnect between the brain and the mouth of something like this. You know, there's no circuit breaker that most people have. Yeah,
they call the White House a dump. I mean, who has it?
Okay, that's David the Circuit Breaker Shapiro and Greg Donald J. Trump Davies.
Did it well.
And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.